The superposed down, it don't get any better than this. The Ultimate Warrior, Ravishing Rick Rude, who are both standing by right now with comments.
Royal Rumble, superposed down. It's the Ultimate Warrior against the sexiest man alive, Ravishing Rick Rude. Now everybody knows the Ultimate Warrior is a man's man. But Ravishing Rick Rude is a ladies' man. And in Houston, Texas, the ladies run the show. And with the ladies, Ravishing Rick says how it's gonna be. I've been told that in the limits of a post down, a super post down, I might add, that there's judges involved. And you, Rick Rude, seem to think that all the women are gonna vote for you. Rick Rude, since coming to the WWF, I've been nothing but tested and judged by all the warriors, including the female species. If you think in Houston that the Ultimate Warrior is going to lay down and accept the vice of only the women you've been with, then live again, Rick Rude, because the warriors live for all.
Baby, oil, and blow. This week's edition.
Coming at ya.
Who's zooming who?
Coming right at ya.
As always, it's me, the big time Matto. With me, as always, I didn't spend any time thinking about it, so I'm going to do it on the spot here. Don't stop me now. I don't know if I've said it already. You're just going to be Jim the Anvil Neidhart to my Bret the Hitman Hart. I don't know if we've used that one. No? Yeah?
Maybe not.
Yeah, it seems like we should have.
Ahoy, hoy, everybody.
Yeah, Nate Adams, have at it.
Here I am.
If I made it to the podcast studio. You can be Marty Jannetty to my Shawn Michaels.
Okay, wow. You're just digging deep right now. Some of the most famous tag teams of all time.
I know that there's no way we used both of those.
Couldn't have.
But maybe we did. Either way.
I like Marty.
Yeah.
He had a real, like, southern dum-dum thing going on. That offset that Shawn Michaels cocky thing. It was just like, oh, this is my dumb southern friend. Eventually, I'm going to get sick of him and throw him through a window.
And you guys really love speed.
So much speed.
Mm-hmm. Hitting the ropes.
Oh.
What?
Did you in the ring work?
Oh, no, I see what you... Oh.
Speed make you constipated?
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah, I thought so.
Oh, God, yeah.
I wonder how those guys were pooping back in the 80s. Jacked up on why so much shit.
Why do you think Big Dust shit himself in a match?
I think like everybody shit themselves in a match, but probably Big Dust did it a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Heard those stories, those horrible stories.
My muffler fell out.
About his muffler, his wadded up toilet paper in his ass crack to keep his ass juices from getting out of control. And, you know, no wonder he made it to the top of my 80s fat guy list.
There's all that. Poop that you didn't wipe out well.
Such a big fat man that you can't clean your asshole adequately.
You get that good sweat Lord. Going.
So, it's December. It happened.
It is.
I've got that December sickness.
December.
Piling on top every year, that annual December sickness.
Oh, yeah, it's December now. I thought you just meant like we're
right
watching
on top
December
of that seasonal depression.
WCW.
Right on top.
Is that
a
thing?
All those extra holiday hours.
Is that a thing?
I'm pretty miserable, so I'm drinking some tea and some honey right here.
I
apologize.
My
voice sounds stupider than normal.
I saved up all my time.
I really don't care, actually.
For the end of the year, I'm like not working at all.
Yeah, that sounds great.
I'm just doing
normal
what I want.
Normal people's lives sound a lot better than mine.
It's pretty good.
And
it's
you got people all the time going like,
pretty good.
Hey, you. Yeah. You excited about Christmas?
Yeah.
This is a thing I've heard like four or five times in the last
week.
Excited about Christmas?
Hello.
No.
Again.
Who asks a 36-year-old man with no kids if he's excited about Christmas? What the fuck would I be excited about? What is there to be excited about, people?
Hey.
Make some different small talk.
Hey,
it's December small
man.
Talk. Worse than normal small talk.
Yeah. Long December. There's reason to believe.
August small talk when everybody starts asking you if you've been to the county fair yet.
Yeah.
That's real good small talk right there.
I bet guys mistakenly will ask you about like football starting up. I mean, I like football, but I know you could care less.
I try to do that if I go out in public, but I don't go out in public very often, so I haven't really heard that in recent years.
I was going to say, I could see like a late August, early September, like, oh, you got your fantasy team put together.
Yeah, yeah. Generally, if I'm out of my house, it's like 2 a.m.
Yeah.
And I'm at a bar.
Yeah.
And like, that's not when football talk's happening. That's when, like, you
see,
know,
you,
sad sacks are in there.
Now, that's where you...
crying into their beers.
That's where you benefit from bossing around high school kids all day.
Uh-huh.
I work with, like, jaded adults.
Yeah, sure.
Looking for an escape. And so they're always like, oh, you do fantasy football? And I have to be like, no, because no.
Uh-huh, yeah.
And, like, I have things I want to say, and then there's like, oh, do I really want to hurt their feelings?
So, like, you're saying, like, when the teenagers that work for me, like, say stupid shit, I can just tell them, shut up, you're a moron.
Yeah.
But you're trying to talk to these people like they're real people.
Correct.
I don't think you should do that anymore. Well, you need to let loose on these fuckers.
Nah.
Fantasy football? Who the fuck wants to talk about fantasy football? Yeah. I can't think of anything more boring.
Yeah, just...
just cut out the middleman and talk about football.
I don't want to hang out and watch sports with you people.
I want to talk about football.
I just kind of like wrestling. I want to view it privately and suffer within.
Talking about wrestling is totally different from talking about football. There's so much stuff going on in wrestling. There's so much to discuss. Let's,
like all of it?
Let's talk about some wrestling here. While
wrestling.
Well, I still have a voice. Let's get it all out, because we watched some wrestling.
We did.
Just like we always do.
NWA presents WCW.
That's right.
Yeah.
World Championship Wrestling.
Yeah.
December 4th, 1985. You haven't fired that shit up on that WWE Network. Do that now.
14th.
Just pause this.
December
watch
14th.
It. We need some context for what we're doing.
14th.
Yeah, what I say.
Right. I'm just making sure we watch the same shit, or else this could have gotten interesting.
December 4th. This is the one I half watched.
Okay.
You know, hazy cloud of cold medicine that I've got going in my head right now. You know, you're watching the same guys beat the same jobbers every week, and then put some cold medicine on top of it. You can start getting like some hallucinogenic deja vu shit going on. I wasn't sure that I hadn't seen this episode before, quite frankly.
I could see that.
Start off with the rundown.
The Rundown. Stifler presents The Rundown.
Audio of that Rundown trailer where The Rock's like, give me the rundown! And you start playing that. Where The Rock's like, give me the rundown, and then we'll give him the rundown.
There's a really good Chris Walken line in there.
Oh, Chris Walken's in the
something
rundown?
Something about the Tooth Fairy.
You might have seen the rundown.
I don't remember. Tooth Fairy. He's talking about killing the tooth.
Is he going to do any scenes with Stifler in that film?
Yeah, I want to say, because like, he's the main bad guy.
Like to see those guys bounce off of each other.
He's the main bad guy.
It sounds like it could be fun.
So they're running. The Tooth Fairy.
Fairly certain I saw the rundown when
it
came out.
Which is funny, because then The Rock.
I have no memory of the rundown.
It was a movie.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He was in the Tooth Fairy movie. That was really stupid when he like
the Tooth Fairy
stopped lifting obscene amounts of weight,
right?
And like slimmed down,
so he didn't look as ripped in a cardigan.
The typical leading Hollywood man started doing those fucking Disney movies, and then his career was just in the toilet. And then like somebody finally smartened the guy up, like, hey kid, your thing is being like a fucking 400-pound mountain of muscle and shooting people with guns. You're an action star.
He had that one.
He's on top of the world again.
Well, he had that one where he was like a football player and had a daughter he didn't know about.
That sounds terrible.
That's kind of a nice
steroids
movie.
Are your friends.
Backup plans.
I want huge rippling nice muscles. Man. I want him to get real sweaty in his movies. I love how sweaty he gets in his movies.
Yeah.
That's an underrated thing. When you can get real sweaty in an action movie, you know you're watching a good one.
So you got your tickets bought in advance for Rampage, is what you're telling me?
Well, yeah. As soon as I saw that trailer with that sweet Billy Corgan.
I saw your blog.
Yeah. Just sampling in.
Pumped.
Billy Corgan into the soundtrack.
I hate all my rage. I am
nothing
still
gets the blood
just
boiling.
Ratting again.
Hey, we should reach out to Billy and see if he wants to talk a little old school NWA with us. Maybe watch a week with us.
Get him and talk about sweatiest action movies. That could be Predator 2 all time.
Maybe he's
sweatiest
like
action movie. What do you think, Billy Corgan?
I'm Billy Corgan. I like how sweaty Danny Glover was the entire film.
Is Billy Corgan here? I thought this was something we were going to do in the future. How'd you get
Billy.
Him? Is he Skyping
I almost said I'm Danny Glover.
What's Skype? Do we have Skype?
Oh, I'm Danny Glover.
I'm Danny Glover.
I brought the National Wrestling Alliance because I'm such a big fan. Such a
two
big
things
fan.
I like, it's wrestling and sweaty action heroes.
First match, Magnum TA versus Bill Tabb. Same Magnum match we've seen every time.
Yeah.
Dropkick, belly to belly, ends in 2 seconds. Magnum wins.
Next.
Why they keep doing this? What's the point?
Who cares?
Ole and Arn versus Rocky King and the Italian Stallion. Mm-hmm. Arn pins Rocky after a Gourdbuster.
Gourdbuster.
Tully versus Gerald Finley.
Mm-hmm.
Tully, you know, draws it out for a real long time and then just puts him away with a slingshot suplex like he always does. He should have just done that like first move. Why do all those other moves when just first move? Put him away.
I don't know, man.
Learn from Magnum. Rock and Roll Express versus Vernon Deaton and George South.
Mm-hmm.
Double backdrop, double drop kick, rock and roll pin Deaton. It's all
rock
over
and
for
roll
you, buddy.
Hoochie coo.
Nikita Koloff versus our boy Mac Jeffers.
Mackie J.
Nikita wins after two, count them, two Russian sickles.
Because it takes that many to put down a Jeffers.
Well, he's got one of those amazing, like, 1920s weightlifter bodies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those men are hardy.
Yeah.
Crusher Khrushchev, the other Russian hanging around, versus Pez Watley.
Are you talking about the championship challenge
this
series?
This week's championship challenge series,
yeah.
Big time. This is, you know, been lighting the...
With an actual title on the line.
Lighting the superstation on fire this series. Crusher gets the pin after some Ivan Koloff interference. Those
sickle.
Dirty Russians.
Sickle.
Road Warriors versus Larry Clark and Paul Garner. Animal gets the pin on Clark after a clothesline. A lot of clotheslines going in this period of the episode here. A little 15-minute clothesline break. Sam Houston versus Mike Nichols. Not the director of The Graduate. Different Mike Nichols.
Oh, God.
I was confused at first. Houston versus an Irish whip into a bulldog gets a pin. Nice little finish there, Sam.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It wasn't the usual bulldog.
No, it wasn't as like standing in the corner for 10 minutes
really
trying to decide when he's finally going to go.
Him and Dan Spivey.
Snap that off.
Snapped
it off.
There like, ugh.
Manny Fernandez versus some jobber I didn't hear
Kent
and I forgot
Glover.
To go back. And
Kent
didn't forget.
Glover.
Refused to go back.
Kent Glover.
This man looked like just about the least athletic, least impressive schmuck I've seen.
Oh, I'm sorry. You must not have watched the... last tag match.
Oh, yeah. You get all these old guys complaining about, like, tiny dudes in, like, you know, those garbage bag pants in the early 2000s mm-hmm. and how low rent they were making wrestling look. You know, look at your TV you were doing back in the 80s, old guys. These fucking jobbers are low rent as hell.
Yeah.
Fernandez with the burrito. Barbarian. Barbie versus Alan Martin. You know, Barbie wins with
Barbarian.
About the meanest power slam you've ever seen, followed by his trademarked diving headbutt.
Oh, that was a great...
Ronnie Garvin, Stonehands himself in our last match versus
Al Scott.
Great ring name, buddy.
Hey, everybody. I'm Al Scott.
Garvin reverses a roll-up attempt with a good old-fashioned punch to the head. Punch to the head.
He punched him in the head.
So that's the rundown. That's all the matches we got this week. Let's get into our five talking points that make up this five count.
That was the
five talking points. Then we got to break that hold and move on to our next segment. What's your number one?
Number one.
Oh, we're just doing the walking thing now, huh?
You've got
keep going.
You've got five, and number one for me. Oh, let me get
you one.
I don't know.
You don't even have any, do you?
I'm just doing my own show now. I got
pretending
one.
Pretending like you were preparing your five. And
I
you were just over there. There's probably circus music going through your head.
Yep.
Constantly. See that hamster wheel turning right now?
Yeah, I've been taking a lot of that same cold medicine, but for different reasons. I also huff it. It helps.
You can huff cold.
You're doing it right, man. I got Tully. Tully versus Jerry Finley.
Okay. Gerald. He doesn't like it when you give him the diminutive of his name. He's
well, it's
an
just
adult.
Like Punk doesn't like it when people call him Phil, but when his friends are around.
Ooh.
Gerald Phillip. Finley and I are pretty good friends.
He minds if we call him Philip.
Philip. Excuse me, MMA superstar Philip.
Next time I see him rolling around Wicker Park, I'm going to be like, Philip!
Philip!
I'm such a big fan!
Philip!
Tully had a match.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. How's that one he wanted the slingshot suplex
mm-hmm.
we were talking about?
There was a little back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
And you said he gave too much away. It was one of the few
the match
times. He could have just squashed the shit out of him. But I got to give a little credit to our guys, Dave and Tony.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of the few times they actually tried to tell some kind of story.
Okay.
And with the whole back and forth, they're like, you know, Tully, he's distracted ever since losing that title.
He keeps hearing those words, quit. They're ringing through his head, Matt.
And they're kind of telling a story of a man who's just, you know, he's on edge and he's still cock of the walk, but maybe he's not so sure about himself now. And he's just worried, and it's like, oh. But and also, I really like how Tully sells a submission whether he's putting it on you or receiving it. It is not a rest hold when he's doing it.
No, absolutely.
It is
not
a submission.
Plenty of great arm work throughout all these matches. It was like the night of the arm work, I think.
It really was.
The night of the hammerlock.
The night
nobody
of the
was just laying on them either. They were working through them, you know.
Cranking them in.
Rolling through, trying to get out, cranking them in.
Yeah.
A lot of arm stuff.
I thought it was a rare, decent, watchable singles match.
Yeah, that promo that Tully cut at the beginning of the. I think, are you watching any of that stuff right there? Are you paying attention? Because usually they only give us that one shot, that one close-up of Baby Doll's face. And like, but she was in the frame this whole time. And like she was trying to be sultry.
He talked later?
Either way, at some point he was talking.
It was after the Nikita and Mac Jeffers match.
Yeah.
And yes, I did. Because I
really appreciated being able to see like every little thing she was doing with her face through that whole promo.
Yeah.
She looked like she was smelling a fart the whole time.
See, now that's what you thought. I had a different thought. I'll let you read it. I wrote it down. It's this line right here.
Baby looks like she was having drinks with Bill Cosby before she came out. Ouch.
Yeah. That was my thoughts on that.
Say what you will about the man and his history of raping all those unconscious women. I bet it was still a lot of fun to have drinks
just
with
to hang out with them until it all took a turn for the worse.
Like, granted, I'm in a real position of privilege here because he's, from what I understand, not going to drug me and then rape my unconscious body. But, like, you know, just two dudes hanging out having drinks with Bill Cosby, I bet that was a fun time.
Maybe.
Sorry, ladies. Sorry you got to live in a world like this. Oh, yeah, Baby Doll. Looking sultry. Looking real sultry.
She had, like, her eyes halfway open and her tongue out a little bit.
She kept, like, opening and closing her mouth. And, like, her nostrils kept flaring a little bit. And I was like, I think she's trying to seduce us. That's what she's doing.
Like, she looks like some kind of lizard person.
Yeah, like, just like one of those sad animals you see at the county fair that they just, like, keep in a big bin. You go look at them. They got heat stroke.
Cue that one.
They don't
up.
Move.
Get a little of that going.
What do you think this is?
I'm listening to it right now.
Okay. In your head, you're listening to
it? No.
Okay.
In production.
Well, no, this post-production shit. This is a lot of money we're starting to spend on all these songs you like to sing.
We got that Stifler money coming in, man.
All that Stifler money coming in. It's all going straight to ASCAP.
Straight to them. Fine members of. But that was my first thing that I didn't hate. That's what I'm going to call it.
Yeah.
Five things I didn't hate.
I saw a Tully Blanchard versus a jobber match, and it was okay.
Yeah.
My number one that I was going to say is just every single guy on this show had a gigantic open cut on his forehead from Starrcade, and it looked ridiculous.
Brother.
Like, could this look like any creepier, just like any more disgusting?
Where
just
did
like
I write
dude
that
after
down?
Dude. Every single person who appears is wearing a headband to cover up the giant cut on his head, or he's just like got a half open wound like
just
on camera.
Festering.
Like, I understand this is before the days of HD, so you're not seeing every little detail, but that's unattractive, man. This is why you don't have every single guy on your roster blade on the same goddamn night. Like, this is starting to turn my stomach a little bit.
I
these guys' fucking faces.
I waited till the very end of the episode with Ronnie Garvin's promo, to which I pointed out everyone's head looks like fucking hamburger.
Manny Fernandez, it was literally the entire length of his forehead, just deep. Like, it looked like somebody cut open his skull and took out his brain. Like, it was severe, like, surgery scar era. Like, Ivan Koloff, like, he had a headband on, and I could still just see, like, cut to shit. His whole forehead, just like three or four gashes.
Lobotomy.
What is he thinking?
There's no thinking.
This Southern wrestling, it goes too far sometimes, man.
These
you want
guys.
Parents to let their kids watch this
bleeding
shit.
Bleeding everywhere.
I guess it was the 80s. Parents weren't paying attention to what their kids were doing.
Nah.
It was a better time. It was great being a kid in the 80s. Parents didn't have any idea what I was doing ever.
Nope. They were always like, don't be home. Go outside. Be elsewhere. Work it out. Get it out.
Oh, no. Here comes the coffin. I was afraid of this.
And here it comes. But yeah, they were always like, go outside. Be wherever. As long as it's not here.
Ooh.
And it's like, that's weird. I think you'd want to know where I am.
Latchkey children. These days, you see a kid walking around with a key around their neck, they're probably not even getting molested or
nothing. Oh, the latchkeys?
It's probably just a fashion thing.
You're talking about Peter and Paul Latchkey that live down the street?
Polish family?
Yeah. Polish, Scandinavian? What is that?
I really don't know.
The Latchkeys.
Don't pay much attention to other cultures.
Yeah. Mrs. Latchkey. She was thick, but she got it done for me. You know what I'm saying?
Nice caboose on that one.
She had a little...
My number one, just everybody looks like wrestling carny hillbillies with their heads cut up.
Yeah, it was tough to look at.
Let's try to find a number two, maybe.
My second thing that I didn't mind watching was my guy Mac Jeffers had a match against somebody else who's, I don't know, his name escapes me. He was a Russian lad.
Doesn't matter. Crusher? Was he the one that fought Crusher?
No, he fought Nikita.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
All the way back up to the top of my notes. Because
it was power.
He lost to those two sickles.
It was power versus power, though.
Uh-huh.
And Mac Jeffers, not skipping leg day.
Well, it was power versus girth.
No way. Jeffers had some muscle going, man.
Yeah, but covered in that nice, just like layer of whale blubber. It's like a...
Yeah, but he's starting to turn it. He's starting to turn it into some real tone here, man. He's trying to get, you know.
You're on board for Mac Jeffers. I think you're... Imagining futures.
I'm telling you,
don't exist.
I'm not telling you to go back and watch because I know you'll go back anyways because you like to rewatch these over and over again.
Yeah. Two or three.
When
times
you do
a week,
check out Mac Jeffers' legs, bro. He's just killing it.
I think I wasn't checking out Mac Jeffers' legs.
Yeah, I accidentally
checked out his legs the whole time.
But that match, though, in terms of itself, thought it was an effective squash match, but I really started to notice. Hey. They're doing this match every week.
Every goddamn week with the
and
same
guys. That's the problem with the WCW.
Ooh, it's bad.
Every week, they're just... It's...
Due to a temporary local power failure, WTBS is off the air. We've been assured that everything possible is being done to correct the situation, and we will return to air as soon as possible. Once again, due to a temporary local power failure, WTBS is off the air. We've been assured that everything is being done to correct the situation, and we will return to air as soon as possible. This is Superstation WTBS, Atlanta.
Ash. Of that.
Uh-huh.
You took a little break there for a minute while I was having a coughing conniption. Matt just started with some in the sad eyes.
Helps me with whatever I'm going through.
Yeah, really. I feel like you're not going to be able to focus. You're just going to be thinking about sad eyes the rest of this entire process. They should have just, instead of Baby Doll, changed her name to Sad Eyes. That would have been a much better gimmick for her.
Sad Eyes, the perfect 10. Oh, here it comes.
Where are we at? Ah, beautiful.
Saving you a lot of time in production.
Yeah. Put your phone right up to the microphone. We should be playing shit on our phone all the time.
I should have like 7 different songs on cue.
Things should just be us like pulling up YouTube videos we think are funny and playing them off our phone into the microphone.
People do that already, so why can't we?
So yeah, we were talking about the repetitive nature of these shows and why they... You know, just suck to watch because they've got the same goddamn jobbers every single week.
Yeah, it's...
You can't watch the same guys beat the same jobbers every week.
There's no change. There's no change in story. It's like we're out of Starrcade, but damn near half the feuds are still going. And it's like, what am I watching here? Mm. What am I doing with my life?
I don't know. I'm going to move on to my number two.
Okay, you go ahead.
Which is Buddy Landell. What's this guy doing with his life?
Everything. He's doing great.
I don't get it. I don't get what's going on here. This guy is such a great loudmouth hillbilly.
Yeah.
Why do they got him coming out dressed to the nines, doing the Nature Boy gimmick?
Yes.
It doesn't suit him at all. You could tell he's just stupid white trash. Mm-hmm. He should be leaning into being stupid white trash. Especially when your world champion, Ric Flair, also doing the Nature Boy gimmick.
Yeah.
Like, why did they let this go down? Why did they let there be two guys with the same nickname and the same gimmick? One guy it's really suited for, the other guy not at all. Be on the same goddamn shows, essentially, you know, doing the same shit. Buddy Landell should have been like Jamie Noble's WWE character. Like, give him like a trashy girlfriend who's a real loudmouth.
Yeah.
Do like a bunch of vignettes where, like, I don't know, he's feuding with his neighbors. They're always calling the cops because his dog's getting in their yard and he's playing his music too loud late at night.
That guy. Well, he likes to rock, though.
He should always be like threatening to sue people.
He likes to rock and roll.
And just like lean into his white trash persona.
It's my, look at this driveway is my property and I can do whatever I want on it. I will sue you.
That sounds great to me. This guy fucking wearing a nice suit, just like trying to act like some sort of playboy. He couldn't look more out of place.
He should have been wearing denim on denim with like a gold chain showing.
Bandanas tied somewhere, I'm sure.
Maybe some like fingerless gloves.
I really just feel like this guy's career was a whole missed opportunity. Like, not to mention, you know, his erratic behavior and drug addiction, which kept him from getting a long-term push anywhere. Like, he just had the wrong gimmick.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. We can't play that up. We can't be like, watch out. This guy's a drug-addled hill rod.
He's a tweaker, man. Yeah. And he makes him dangerous in the ring.
But he did ask Magnum TA the question, who's zooming who?
Yeah, who's zooming who?
That's why...
That's something a hillbilly would say.
That's why that's this week's episode. Who's zooming who?
I don't know. I don't know what it means, but I know that if I lived probably in Alabama, I'd know. I bet everybody down there knows what that means.
I just loved the continuity because Magnum comes out later and says, buddy, who is zooming who?
I'll tell you who I'm zooming. I'm zooming you, man.
Yeah. All I want to... Do, zoom, 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 boom, boom.
Yeah, he was ahead of his time. People weren't Rump Shaker. Hadn't even came out yet at this point. I mean,
check, baby, 1, 2, 3, 4.
So my number two is just thinking about what could have been if they would have just let Buddy Landell be Buddy Landell.
Just thinking
why was he trying to be Buddy the Nature Landell. Boy?
Was that your number two or your number three?
That's my number two.
How'd I have three already?
What did you have?
Oh, maybe I only had two.
Kind of just freeform talking, I think. Two.
Yeah, this show's kind of like jazz.
Yeah.
Especially it really when it's a WCW week.
This whole five count thing, you know, it's mostly just an excuse to move it along.
Yeah, I feel like the WWF ones are a little more reined in, but when it's WCW time, baby, it's like jazz.
I mean, my notes right now, I can't even follow. Like, when you start talking about one of these matches, I just put down such like just generic stuff with no pronouns that like I can't even find what I wrote about this shit. I'm going to blame the cold medicine, but every time the bell rang, I kind of like actively stopped paying attention.
Yeah. Like, here's
and I'd
my
like
turn.
Stop myself and be like, oh, man, turn off. You're supposed to be watching this. You haven't paid attention to, like, anything happening in the match.
You gotta know, Nate. You need to know what's going on.
But, you know, I did what I could. I did the best that I could. Yeah. That's all I got.
That's fine.
Lozenge.
I got a three.
My mouth is kind of old. It's starting to break down in weird ways.
I had newer ones I could have brought you.
I wish you would have thought of me.
You're right.
Brought me a lozenge.
I let you down. Who's zooming who? I let you down.
Yeah. Hopefully this is the last time this happens.
Whichever.
Next week, we're going to be fully stocked.
Yeah. I was sick a couple weeks ago. I'm good now.
Yeah, you got through it much better than me. I got flop sweat going on over here.
I got jail immunities.
Yeah.
It's a life I live, and I'm just... Me and the big boss man. You want to know how many sick days boss man took?
A lot.
None.
You probably got a lot of weird diseases, though. I think, like, people work in jails are sick all the time.
No. If they're always telling you to, like, wear gloves and wash your hands.
Mm-hmm.
I never
no
do,
way.
And I'm good.
Yeah, that's like, a good, way for your body to like
I'm good.
Not be able to handle anything.
Yeah.
I want to get my nose down in the muck, you know
what
I'm saying?
That's why all these kids are pussies these days.
Mm-hmm.
Because moms are constantly putting sanitizer on their hands, and they're always winning fucking participation awards.
Are they?
Yeah.
They've never given me a participation award.
That's because we grew up in a different time, man.
I think I would have appreciated it.
Yeah, but...
We saw you out there trying, kid.
No.
I was just like... Doing that sad, you know,
sad
end of the Incredible Hulk walk home.
Ooh, that's a good
by
song
myself
too.
With
with the piano
key around my neck, so I could open the door.
Hitchhiking,
and
maybe
try to cobble myself together a post school bologna sandwich.
Man. God,
the '80s. They were a different time.
Do you like the skin that was on the very end of the bologna? Or
bologna
did you take
skin?
That off?
I didn't have any problems with the bologna skin.
I knew some folks that would take that
kinda
off.
Kind of had like, you know, that classic like stupid kid problems with crust for a while. Probably got into like my teen years before I started eating crust like an actual human being.
I got a little brother that goes by the name of,
Davey R. Shyster?
Davey Wall Street.
You're
Davey R. Shyster.
Rich yuppie brother?
Yeah, we haven't spoken about him lately. He was a non-crust
man.
No
crust
man, like,
yeah.
Probably till like 2 years ago.
He strikes me as, what, 2 years ago?
I might be.
That's insane.
Going a little hard here, but you know.
It was like
5 years ago.
Going to one of these like yuppie artisanal sandwich shops and like cutting the crust off of his.
He got kicked out of five Paneras asking for no crust. I was a bit of a fancy lad myself. I enjoyed a good
did you eat that whole wheat instead
no bread at all. If I was going home and I was on my own,
you were Atkins in it.
I had
a little bit. Wow.
I took a nice piece of bologna, right?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe two, maybe three.
Yeah,
put them down
depending on how much you lifted that morning, you know.
Well, hell yeah, bro.
Protein,
hell yeah.
how much I was doing out on the old jungle gym.
Take that classic French's yellow mustard.
Ooh,
nice,
gross.
Nice strip, couple strips of it down the middle. Then you roll that piece of bologna up.
Bologna rolls.
Pop a little toothpick through there.
Toothpick? Where do you get all these toothpicks?
I don't know. We always had toothpicks in the house. We had a little cow toothpick holder.
Well, it was like toothpicks with like the fancy little bit of like plastic confetti at the
end
of it.
No, just regular toothpicks. I was Scott Hall on it.
Huh, that's a little bologna roll-ups.
That's also why I liked Razor Ramon a lot as a kid, was because we always had toothpicks, and I'd just throw them into my brother's faces.
It makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. Hey, yo. And then
whoosh. I liked Coco Beware because I grew up in a house full of parrots.
Oh.
My parents had like 35, 40
wondered
parrots.
Which way that was going
to
go.
Yeah, there was
yeah.
Bird shit all over the floors. Go to school covered in feathers.
Oh, that's
hard to make friends.
He smells like birds. Don't sit by him.
I don't smell like birds. I smell like parrots. They have this like smell.
It's different. They can talk.
Sparrows are stinky.
They live to be like 70. I got a 3.
Parrots smell like cinnamon.
3?
Didn't we
yeah,
have
I got
do
a 3.
One?
No, I don't know.
Have we just been talking about nothing?
Yeah, we've been talking about nothing for a while.
Crap.
I'm going to talk about...
We really got to knock through this shit.
The Minnesota Wrecking Crew.
Okay.
They come out and they cut a promo, but only after the American Dreams come out. And it's one of the things I do like about WCW is they'll use their millions of promo times...
It's all about the promos on the shows.
...to at least do a little back and forth answering.
Yeah, I wish they'd stop having matches.
Yeah, just let these guys talk. Interviews. But yeah, the American Dreams come out earlier and they're like, look, we got nice fur coats. Like, look at us. This coat cost...
Oh yeah, that was my number 3.
This coat cost...
It's just that those guys wore fur coats.
33 G's, because Big Dust was like, we just got back from Anchorage, Alaska, daddy.
Just huge, gorgeous mink coats like a woman would
wear.
Yeah,
like to your ankle. It was a full coat. And as he said, they were 33 G's.
That's a lot of money for a coat, Matt.
He was saying that he... no,
especially in 80s money? Come on.
Yeah.
I don't know if Dusty's on the level.
Yeah, that's the thing. That goes back into my... I'm pretty sure Dusty wasn't a good guy.
Yeah.
He's always talking about...
Oh, sure, common man.
Yeah, oh, I'm a common man.
33 G's
man.
A drop
a
on a fur
man.
Coat.
And he's always like dropping in subtle digs at like, what I'm doing in my life, you could never achieve, son.
Mm-hmm.
You're a bum. I'm not. But either way, and then he makes some a threat about how he's going to... break the Anderson's legs and stuff.
Making a
he made
threat
a veiled
to break a bone
threat
while wearing
about
a fur
assault.
Coat
yeah,
in the most 80s, and you know, matching fur coats and matching forehead bandages, standing there all dressed up.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, there's just like blood trickling down their fucking foreheads
because
they cut up their heads but like 2 days previous.
Good old Ole in his promo time mm-hmm. says that Dusty's gonna look like a chicken sucking eggs. And the reason for that...
Chickens don't do that. I don't even know what that would look
like.
Hold
on now. Hold on now, because the reason is for that. You know, he ain't concerned about Dusty's threat, because the Andersons, they're the only ones that follow through on threats. Just ask old Sam Houston.
Yeah.
You know?
They fucked up his arm, I think.
If you forgot about your foot, pal, go ask old Sam Houston.
I also liked when Ole insinuated that Dusty couldn't see his feet past his... big old belly.
Yeah.
That was a nice little dig. Ole's hitting low, hitting below the belt.
He's fat!
You know, Ole had another one of his, you know, homemade glitter shirts on.
Did he?
Yeah, I couldn't see.
I
didn't get a good enough shot of it to see what it said this week, but it looked nice. It had some, like, gold leaf lettering and then, like, some big blotchy glitter logo of some sort in
the
middle.
Was he married?
Because
I got to assume his wife's making those.
See, I always just pictured him making them, just like getting out his little like craft tackle box and his glue and his glitter. And hey, Arn, I got an idea for a new one.
Like,
you know, he doesn't even like all the baggage he checks is just all his crafting equipment. Like,
yeah,
he doesn't even bring a change of clothes when he's out on the road.
It goes two ways because like I could see them partying and like him just plowing through like 3 or 4 like really young fat girls like at the same time and him just being like, look how good I'm doing for myself, fellas. And they're
I
just like, yeah, good job, Ole.
All these things were probably happening at
or
the same
could
time.
Also see him
he
being
can have
like
a wife, he could have fat girls, and he can have a tackle box full of glitter.
Right. I could see him like partying with the fellas and just being like, no, I can't do that. I got the little lady back at home and she means a lot to me and I'm just
no
gonna
way.
Have a couple of these
There's
adult beverages and
no way a 1980s wrestler was saying like I'm not gonna party because I got a wife at home.
If anybody That's was, stupid. It was him.
Why would you be in wrestling if you weren't just like
if anybody was
partying,
it was him, man.
Blowing coke up your nose? And just, like, having sex with, like, chubby, unattractive ladies.
Also, a lot of people don't realize Ole Anderson was the original Rock.
Was he?
Well, according to Davy Crockett.
What did he say?
Well, he was talking about Arn Anderson when they were having their match, and he's like, Double A is in the ring. His nickname is Double A.
How did he get that nickname, Davey?
I don't know. And then some people call Ole the Rock.
That was it. Never heard
that was all he said.
That.
According to Dave. You got a three?
Yeah, it was just I liked that they wore matching fur coats.
Yeah, okay.
So right. we already talked about that. Let's just move on to
Let's go right to four. And I'm going to go to, this is definitely what something that I liked, and for all the wrong reasons.
Uh-oh. You're going to start revealing some of that pervy shit that makes me uncomfortable, aren't you? You're always doing this to me. What is it?
No, there was none this time around.
Oh, okay.
This is, well, they called it on paper, Sam Houston versus Mike Nichols.
Yeah.
But as we know it.
Film director, director of the stage.
Correct.
All-around renaissance man, Mike Nichols.
Mike Nichols.
Also did a little pro wrestling jobbing back in the 80s. A lot of people don't know that.
Are you trying to seduce me?
What do you like about Baby Doll? What were we talking about?
No, we're talking about Sam Houston versus Sam Mike Houston. Nichols.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Got off on a tangent.
Yeah, we did. I like it because this was the talk about everybody that watches our show segment.
The write-in segment. That's right.
Talking
about Sam Houston got his match ignored by the commentators.
So the match starts out boring as sin.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, how can we slow this down and bring this to more of a grinding halt? Let's talk about shit.
Well, you think you're bad for you because you're bored in the match. Don Jones had a heart attack, Matt.
Yeah.
Did you hear
Tony
talking about that?
Yeah.
Like, you don't want to be in that guy's shoes.
You talking about Don in Columbus, Ohio?
Great wrestling fan Don Jones. He's recovering.
But how about Davey's great words of wisdom to him?
Oh, what were they? I don't think I heard that.
Just stay cool now.
That's what you write in a yearbook. That's not what you tell somebody who had a heart attack.
Well, he didn't want his blood pressure going up, man.
I don't know how this shit's working out. Like, Tony's, like, knows fans that had... There was no Twitter back then. Like, how the fuck does he know that some fan had a heart attack?
Somebody, whether it was Don or someone in his family, was like...
Wrote a letter into Tony Schiavone?
Hey, Tony Schiavone, I had a heart attack and I really enjoy your product.
How did the world work before the internet?
It was a mystery. But, happy 59th wedding anniversary to Mr. and Mrs. E.R. Christ of Streetforth, Louisiana.
Scintillating television right there. Just reading off anniversaries.
And they give out the address, and then Davey congratulated his buddy Gene on getting married and then said condolences to his wife.
Oh,
a little
man.
Inside. It was a little inside.
First time that David Crockett ever told a joke. Yeah. That might be his first.
Yeah.
I liked Sam Houston's red, white, and blue cowboy boots.
I didn't notice anything.
That's the
I was
only
too
thing
busy
I was looking at
the entire time, just typing down all this bullshit they were talking about.
No, I was zoning that stuff out. We got different priorities.
So then they're like 3/4 of the way through their match, and they start hyping what's coming up in the show still.
Uh-huh.
And they're like, we've got the Barbarian. We've got Ronnie Garvin. We got America's Team. And Manny Fernandez. I'm like, man, that's a lot of shit. And
yeah.
Then they're like,
at this point, I felt like I've been watching this show for like 6 hours.
And then Davy Crockett's like, and maybe R&R or Rock and Roll Express. And
I'd like to get them.
Tony, yeah.
I'd
Tony,
really like to get them.
That's what he said. That was literally what
he
said.
Yeah.
Shivani's like, oh, I don't know. Like, are we going to have time for all that? And he's like, I'd really like to get them. And then I'm like thinking to myself, like, I've been watching this shit for hours. How are they gonna fit all this in?
Yeah, there's
and
no
I
way.
Looked at the time.
No way to do it.
There was only 26 minutes left in the show.
It's too much for 26 minutes.
And Nate,
what?
They came through with it.
Wow.
And showed all those
props
things.
To them.
Some of them twice.
I was worried, like, maybe we won't get that Rock and Roll Express interview.
They showed some of those people twice, Nate.
But that main evented the show. Rock and Roll Express talking. How'd you feel about that? You love those guys.
What are they doing?
I don't know.
I like
that's too much stuff for one
who's
show.
Who's the blonde one?
They're killing
that
me.
I hate. That's
Ricky Morton.
Ricky Morton. Yeah.
I thought you hated Robert Gibson.
Yeah, I really
dead
hate.
Eyes.
I really hate Robert Gibson. Ricky Morton. I'm gonna give it to him. He had a sweet sweater on.
Yeah, kind of like
blue
bandana, like under the collar.
Yes,
like wearing it as an ascot a little bit.
It was this like blue, kind of like Henley style, but it was like a zip, like a quarter of the way zip, but then it had like the leather jacket snap over, and then he had the bandana tucked over. Oh, I'm gonna see if I can find a picture of it. We'll put it up.
Crushing so much puss back in 1985.
Oh man, you could it's
disgusting.
You could. Ooh,
disgusting how
pull
much.
In George Clooney tail with a sweater like that these days.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
George Clooney's off the market though, isn't he? Didn't he finally get married?
Yeah, oh yeah, I think he.
Infamous bachelor. Some lady tied him down. Yeah. Kudos to her, right?
The Duchess of Dudleyville couldn't.
No, definitely not.
She tried.
That girl, how did she go from like dating David Flair to dating Test to dating George fucking Clooney? Like, I thought for sure that girl was like. Barometer on men was completely broken.
And then still,
George Clooney, goddamn.
And then still failed to make herself a thing after that.
Yeah. Props to Stacey Keebler for getting that Clooney dick, though.
Mm-hmm.
She got it all up in her. My number four, that Road Warrior squash.
Oh, yeah.
Because, like, up until that match, just, like, everybody was botching right and left. Like,
yeah.
Simple backdrop spots and shit. Just, like, everybody. It was, like, nobody was on the same page. Lots of awkward miscommunications. And, that match, there was no opportunity for it because they just, like, sack of shitted these guys in the air. Didn't let them, like, do their half of anything. It was all just deadlift throws. And I was like, oh, finally, I don't have jobbers stumbling over their own feet because they're just getting tossed around like babies. Thank you, Road Warriors. I think maybe there was, like, gas leak in the locker rooms this week or something.
Could have been.
Yeah. Stumbling around out there a little bit off. A little bad matches. Just bad matches this week. A lot of them. One after another.
Yep.
And
that had
Larry Clark was one of the jobbers they were beating up too, and he was doing some nice like Larry, Terry Funk like punch drunk selling there at the end.
He was.
And I liked his black and yellow tights too.
Oh, those tights always look good. Yeah. I've talked about those before.
Keep an eye on Larry Clark. He might be growing on me. I think he's growing on me.
He's a WCW mainstay. He's got black and yellow. But from the trunks
song.
To the knees to the boots. It's like a straight black and yellow, and
there's
like V's. It's a solid look. But more important was the look of his buddy Paul Gardner, who was our just why are you in wrestling body shape of the week.
Yeah, that guy. They looked like they pulled him off of a Lazy Boy like directly.
He had like these red overall kind of tights that kind of look like those Canadian lumberjack,
like long johns.
Yeah, the onesies. Yeah, the only thing he was missing, was the flap.
Patch in the back, the butt
poop
flap to go down.
Just shoot open.
That'd be a good gimmick, wrestling with a little poop flap in your tights. Every once in a while.
Oh, my muffler fell
every
out.
Every once in a while it comes on loose, and you're just like, oh, a little butt showing.
Flair liked showing ass in the last.
He loved it.
Especially the later part of his career.
I feel like buns aren't a thing anymore. Like, men's
buns.
Like, back in the 80s, I feel like women were just, like, nuts about buns.
Yeah.
And, like, every, like, big movie star always had to have, like, that scene in the movie where you saw his buns. And I was watching that Disaster Artist with James Franco yesterday, and there's this one scene where, you know, he's playing Tommy Wiseau, and he's insisting that the director is get shots of his buns. He's got to have his buns in the movie to, like, sell it.
Yeah.
And they do a lot of just, like, putting that camera right on James Franco's naked butt.
Nice.
And all the girls in the audience I was seeing with were just like, just like grossed out.
What?
And I'm like, what is happening to the world?
This is a real treat.
This man looks great.
How dare
you? Women used to love buns. You should be getting hot under the collar over these Franco buns right now.
Like, did any of these, you know, ham and egger broads in the audience take the time to think about how many squats Mr. Franco was doing before that shoot?
Buns. Buns looked great.
That's
you gotta bring back buns, I feel like.
Well, Tina from Bob's Burgers is trying.
Oh, yeah. That's right. She does talk about butts on that show.
I figure you let that sink in with the younger kids.
We're going to have a new generation
maybe in about
of
10
girls
to 15,
that are crazy about buns again.
10 to 15 years.
And then Jean-Claude Van Damme has his like late career renaissance. And
yeah.
It's going to work out great for him.
That guy killed it in the butt game.
We got to do a number five. We got to end this.
Yeah. Mine came to my attention.
Yeah, mine too. That's mine.
Yeah,
both
sure.
have the same one.
Yeah. Well, you get it. You take it away then. the Raging Bull versus Kent Glover match. It wasn't the match so much, although...
Chaps, was it Manny's leather chaps?
Our guy Dave Crockett literally ejaculated during this match. He had an orgasm somewhere through it.
Oh, wow.
And then couldn't say anything the rest of the match except...
Poor Tony.
He's mad. He's mad. He wants him to fight. He wants him. He's gotta fight him. He's mad. But the real thing I noticed was... Everyone's a tough guy. Manny Fernandez comes out, and they're putting over how much of a tough guy he is.
He's got that sweet red bandana tied over his
gigantic
forehead.
Ronnie Garvin's come out, and they're playing up how much of a tough guy he is.
These men are professional.
They got
fighters,
all these guys that were like faces on the show, and they're like beating the fuck out of these guys. And then they go for pins, and then they rip the guy's head back up in heel fashion. Mm-hmm. To be like, nope, I'm stopping that count. I'm going to beat this guy some more. It's like, everybody's a tough guy. Which is it? One of the cowboy guys, he's a tough guy too. I don't know his name. It don't matter what his name is.
All cowboys are tough guys.
Oh, also this match literally ends with Tony Schiavone throwing it to commercial. And Dave's last words are, this is the last thing you heard.
Thank you, butthead.
He was so excited about how tough He wants him to fight. He's got to fight him.
That flying burrito. Just like you see in every tough man competition. My number five was just how much Barbarian beat up that jobber in his match.
Oh, man, I love that so much. I'm glad you brought it up.
Big headbutt, and like that guy's just knees buckled, and then he body slammed him on the concrete.
Alan Martin fucking kills in that match, dude. Like, he took a
power slam he gives him at the end, like... That was maybe the most intense power
slam
I've ever seen.
Did you hear how much the crowd got behind him, though, when he finally got back into the ring to take that power slam?
Yeah, we all thought he was dead.
They're like, he's doing it. This is it.
Thank God he's still alive. Yeah. I don't have to tell my kids that I saw a murder today.
He killed it. Oh, and every move that Barbarian did.
Paul Jones still calling him the Barbarian every fucking week. Like, you'd think you're managing this guy as your, like, job. You'd learn how to pronounce his fucking name.
Literally,
your entire job is talking about this guy and you can't pronounce his fucking name?
Not at all. Not even a little.
You're busy dyeing your hair, Paul Jones, to learn how to pronounce your own goddamn guy's name?
Every big move Barbarian did, Dave Crockett said, Oh, we.
I just can't stress enough about how he is my least favorite play-by-play commentator I have ever heard.
Really makes you appreciate
any
Michael
wrestling
Cole.
Show. Let's put a fork in this one. It's done. Another episode we got through.
It's over. It's all over.
Let's take a little break, do a little breather, suck down one of these lozenges, maybe soothe my throat, and then we're going to come back for that three count.
Get up on your feet. Put your hands together.
Sing along with three count. We'll party on forever. Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
To unlock your body's potential, we proudly offer Soloflex. 24 old-fashioned iron pumping exercises, each correct in form and balance. All on the simple machine that fits in the corner of your home. For a free brochure, call anytime.
Hey, how can I get muscles like you guys?
Wow, Mr. Wonderful!
You can start by getting in shape with a Hulkamania workout set.
Great!
It's got everything you need. Head and wristband. A jump rope for warming up. A hand gripper for power. Dumbbells for strength. An exercise poster. And even Hulk's own workout tape.
The Hulkamania workout set. You from LJN.
Are you in shape yet?
Yeah!
Oh!
Hey, welcome right back in, everybody. It's time for everybody's favorite segment here on Old Baby Oil and Blue. I'm talking about that three count.
I was being like your lady sidekick that just laughs at everything you do. Like,
You got it, man. Keep going,
it's too early in the morning for you guys. It's craziness. Oh, man.
You do so good, man.
Do we have a song? Like a song? Like last week we had Weird Al's Fat,
which
is
great.
Yeah,
really good.
Like, what's a good strong song?
About being strong, people?
Strong.
That was about thongs.
Like the wind of beat goes.
Find something. Something about strong, man. Somebody's had to have written a song about strong.
I'm
man
putting
the music history.
I'm putting the cart before the horse We didn't even say what the subject matter was.
It's, you know, in the episode description. I think people probably figured it out.
What about our fans that don't know how to read?
Well,
incontinent, that's the word.
Oh, yeah.
That means you can't read, right?
I wouldn't know. Yeah, last week we did Big Fatties. So let's, flip that coin around and look at the other. This week we're going to be talking about our body guys, maybe, like best physiques.
Maybe.
Favorite sexy, beefy men.
Maybe we should use Sheryl Crow's Strong Enough to Be My Man.
Oh, wow. Good song.
Bam, 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 bam. It's a good song.
Guys, you know, eating steaks, lifting plates, getting that protein, son, pumping.
Eggs, more eggs.
I tell you what, I don't know this cold medicine. I've been hacking and sniffing and coughing all day. You think I skipped my workout today, man? Hell no.
You're sick.
Went up 5 pounds on that bench.
You're sick. You ain't dead.
Nah. Cough medicine fueled just power, pure power happening in this house.
Now, the diarrhea that happened while you were putting those plates up.
I haven't diarrheaed yet after I'm eating all these old lozenges, though. It's probably going to...
I'm going to tell you right now.
Drizzling out of me.
When I hit that cold medicine, if there's one thing that's a definite that's going to happen at some point...
Bad news out the back door.
Bad news brown. At some point.
Yeah, I'm happy that didn't happen to me. Putting up that extra 5 pounds, I could see myself just bowels giving out and shitting on that weight
monster
bench.
Farts at some point.
Oh, man.
Robert Gibson level farts.
Robert Gibson level just protein farts.
And then just all of a sudden, diarrhea. Bad news, brown.
So these guys back in the 80s, they were steroid fueled, man. They're taking lots of steroids, so they're huge. They're way huger than wrestlers are now.
Huge.
I loved
just
it.
Huge.
Right now, we're calling this our 1989 Royal Rumble pose down memorial list. We're not going to talk about the Ultimate Warrior. We're not going to talk about Rick Rude.
Because, duh.
These guys look too great.
Duh, they're
strong. Spread the love around.
AF.
Ultimate Warrior, biggest, veiniest, most crazy barbarian looking fucking warrior ever. Ricky Rude, this guy wasn't cut, man. This guy was like diced. This guy was chopped. Like, this guy had cuts chop on it, cuts on it. Cuts. Layers of muscle. I didn't even know there could be so many layers on a guy. Rick Rude, probably my ultimate like masculine ideal.
Yeah.
Like, if I was, like, fucking dudes, I'd be like, Rick Rude's the one I want to fuck the most out of that.
That's the guy. Silver tuna.
Any ladies, any of those rats back in the day, you know, pulled up on Rick Rude, good on you.
Yeah.
Good on you, ladies. Let's get into it.
Let's go.
A little love letter to steroids. Who's your number three did the most steroids?
I'm going to go with, I tried to do some guys that weren't just, like, roided on top of roided, and, like, I tried to do some, like, really
sounds good to me.
Fucking cut, and maybe you don't even realize or think about it.
Oh, wow, yeah, a little low-key fitness.
One of my guy, Vince McMahon, it was his...
Never heard of him.
It was his white whale, the one that got away.
Oh, okay.
And he kept trying to replace him, Mr. Superfly himself.
Oh, Jimmy Snuka, yeah.
Jimmy Snuka.
Yeah, that CBOP guy.
Now,
was not
right,
nearly roided
right
up enough to be the next Superfly.
Now, that's the thing. Superfly wrestled for such a long time. There's so many different years of his body to look at.
Yeah.
But if you look at, like, that sweet little 80s run there, like, there's multiple times in that decade where he's just jacked to the bejesus belt.
Yeah.
And, I mean, he's muscles on top of muscles. There's that famous, Mr. T and Roddy Piper feud that was going on. Yeah, pretty sure that was one. Yeah. But, like, there's some point where it's Piper, it's T, but Hogan and Jimmy Snuka are also in the ring. I don't remember if it was at WrestleMania, if it was, like, Saturday night main events leading up to it.
Standing next to him.
He did.
Yeah.
Like, Snuka's got on a t-shirt, but you can tell, like, his arms are twice the size of Hogan.
He really pushed that whole, like, Hulk Hogan.
Yeah.
He's, like, the weightlifter guy. He's a big Hulk
he wasn't.
Man gimmick. And, like,
he was just
out
a
of all the
borderline
guys,
fatty.
Had, yeah, the worst body. Just
yeah.
Always bloat, always puffy, like, never cut. Like, this guy never had any definition.
If you look at Snuka's thighs, like, when he's at his most jacked,
uh-huh.
He's got, like,
I have.
Yeah.
And will again. I'm
he
sure.
has muscles that like other people do not have in their bodies.
That's nice. And those brown boys too. Yeah. You know, those muscles show pops. Up a little bit better.
Oh yeah. The shadow, the definition, the tone.
Bodybuilders are it always pops. Smearing all that, you know, weird tanner on them before.
So like knowing what I know about Vince, I get it. I understand now why he was so adamant
he
about
so
trying
many
to find.
Steroids.
Yeah.
I loved it.
Oh, his body looked so good. Oh, I want to see it again. It's in my mind.
We're going to find
it's
another
in my dreams.
Pacific Islander who could shoot as many steroids into
up,
his butt as that guy.
I wake up thinking about it. I need it.
Wake up thinking about that murder that he helped cover up.
Yeah, totally. Sweep that under the rug. NBD.
No big deal. My number three. Putting this guy on here just because.
Oh, real quick. Superfly Jimmy Snuka. 5'11", 250.
You looking up stats?
Hell yeah, dog.
That's smart. I should have looked up some stats. Talking about pure mass is why I'm putting this guy in here. Just the most amounts of muscles. I feel like this guy probably had the most amounts of muscles of anybody on any roster. He was huge. He was all about just working out for mass. The Warlord.
Ooh.
One half of the Powers of Pain. This guy, like, he wasn't like Hogan either. Like, he wasn't puffy. He wasn't like, you know, just sort of bloated.
He's a little puffy.
Yeah, he always had, he was vascular, he always had cuts, but he was huge. Like, I literally don't think there's anybody who had bigger muscles than the fucking Warlord. This guy was tall, his frame was wide, and he just filled as much of it with big bulging muscles as he possibly could.
That's a really good
pick.
It was
a monster. And I think, like, I've seen pictures of him from, like, 5 years ago or something. He's just still gigantic. He's not even dead. I would have assumed definitely he was dead.
Yeah, his look was consistent. Like you said, he always kept that size no matter what the year.
I bet he could like legit bust through a brick wall like the Kool-Aid Man. Like,
oh, yeah.
To, right through a brick wall.
He kind of busted over that top rope in that Royal Rumble appearance.
I don't really remember what happened to him in the Royal Rumble.
He held the quickest elimination. He was like cheering and...
It should have never happened
to
him.
He was glad handling on the apron, like, look at me, I'm the Warlord, this is going to be great. And then he stepped in, and I forget, somebody knocked him out of the Royal Rumble.
Dropkick from Coco Beware.
And then some...
Just made that up. It's probably not true.
Some goober. Santino Marella.
There's a man who deserves to have the fastest elimination. That guy was garbage.
Well, he did. He got it. Man, who was that that eliminated him? I can't remember. It'll come back to me at a later time. It doesn't even matter.
As soon as we're done with this, because I'm so curious.
Good pick.
Yeah.
Good pick.
I thought so. He's my mass guy. I mean, just a guy who was huge.
6'5", 323 pounds.
That's a big boy right there.
That's a big boy.
Who are we talking?
Also billed from. Parts unknown. No, your guy, the Warlord. That was his stats.
Okay,
I found
stats.
Him for you.
Okay.
I want you to be a part of this too. Yeah.
Yeah, like tall. How could a guy that tall be that wide?
Yeah, no, he's a big
boy.
Can't
even imagine what it would have been like standing next to him.
I got a number two.
Barbarian was huge. And he
Barbarian?
He always looks small standing next to him.
Oh, yeah. Oh, definitely.
That's how you know a guy's big. When you're fucking dwarfing the Barbarian.
Yeah.
Goddamn.
Many have tried. Few have.
What's your number two?
He's one of my favorites.
You got a lot of favorites.
I do.
Know. You're spreading around your love too much.
Let's just put it.
Kind of a muscle slut.
Let's put it this way. He's from the Great Northwest.
Mm-hmm.
And he also dabbles as a bit of a ninja.
He's a serene man of nature and meditation.
Very disciplined.
And growing beards.
That's right. I'm
I
talking
know where
about.
You're going.
Billy Jack Haynes.
Yeah, that guy looked great.
Yeah,
I got
he was
a lot
good.
Of complaints about him, but I can't complain about that
Not
physique.
Not that look, man. He
Hell
was
no.
hitting the gym. He was hardcore. You could tell he was a man of great, great discipline. Mm. Not just because he was a ninja.
Yeah, I think being a ninja probably helps with discipline, though.
But a lot of people don't realize, because I've done extensive research
how much
on
discipline
the
it also takes to be a lumberjack.
Well, do you know where it comes from?
Where what comes from?
His discipline.
Probably from his father, I would imagine.
No. From everyone's father, Stu Hart.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
He trained in the dungeon.
Up there getting stretched by Stu.
Yep.
Yeah, let me shake your hand. Yeah. This is what I...
Yeah, got it.
What happens? You don't ever give a man your hand.
No, I'm hurting
you
your hand.
Pop your elbow out of the socket.
I'm hurting your hand.
Well, here's Brett.
I'm a real tough guy. Here's Brett now. Brett's a cool guy, too. But yeah, Billy Jack Haynes, muscles on top of muscles, cutting down trees because he's the size of a tree, a redwood, you know?
If you were like to make a drawing of a man, you're like, little kid, draw a man, they would draw Billy Jack Haynes.
Yeah.
It's like, This is what masculinity looks like.
He reminds me of, like, on Ren and Stimpy when they draw strong people.
Oh, yeah. You know? They did do that a lot on that like, show.
Where, like, the muscles are making those weird, like, ripping plastic noises. Yeah.
Drew a lot of veins on that show.
You want to that show? Like you want to take a veins. You want to take a guess on what his stats
on
was?
His stats?
What's he walking around at?
I don't know. I don't want to do that at all. No. I have a fucking carnival worker over here.
I don't know.
Guessing
maybe
people's heights and weights.
You can.
Jesus Christ.
You don't have to.
Throw me in a dunk tank. That sounds like more fun than being a weight guesser guy.
6'3", 247.
Is that a shoot? This ain't no
that's
working
a shoot.
Weight.
No, that's
goddamn.
A shoot. That's the real deal, pal.
He's
real deal.
Big boy, too. Another big boy. My number two pick, I'm doing a little curveball.
Mm-hmm.
Not so big a boy. I mean, he's a big guy. Everybody was a fucking big guy back in 80s wrestling. But not pure mass. This guy, all about tone. All about just pure athleticism.
Tone.
My man, who I shit on pretty regularly on this podcast.
Yeah.
Mr. Wonderful Paul Orndorff.
Yeah, this guy, debated with him.
About the best you can look and still look like a normal guy.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, I can see like wanting to have Paul Orndorff's body because like it looks great and it's clearly he just does incredible work on it. But he doesn't look like one of those just like big, gross weightlifter dudes.
Yeah, not all.
You want to like look like one of those big, gross bodybuilders or like people are just like, ugh, look at your body. I feel like Mr. Wonderful's right on that edge where people are just like, goddamn, your body's crazy. But like, you know, I get with that. Hey, what up, dude?
Yeah. Good so, size ratio.
He really did it right. This guy's maybe like body wise, he's just like ultimate action hero. Like this is the ideal you'd want a dude to look like if you were gonna cast him in a, you know, Chuck Norris movie.
He cuts it just short of cartoony.
Absolutely. I appreciate that. You know, other than Rick Rude, who, you know,
well, yeah.
If I was to do like a 80s body swap adventure type thing where like, you know, both of us touched some sort of mystical lamp at the same time, and then like number one, I'd want to be in Rick Rude's body, but like number two, I probably wouldn't mind rolling around with Paul Orndorff for a while.
Yeah,
as long as it's like pre nerve damage where his little like T Rex arm started forming, I wouldn't want to be in that body.
This,
I'd be a real bummer.
Yikes! I got the stats on him.
Oh man, you're quick on that Bing.
You ready?
This is just let's take a minute to appreciate how just fast.
Oh,
this Bing is, and just like the results,
you
just
got
like
the fine
so
folks
well organized,
at
like
Bing
within
working
seconds,
night and day. Shivani and Crockett,
unsung heroes,
went out of their way to put over how Rock and Roll Express is the tag team of the '80s, just because they're fluid.
They're fluid. Can't argue with that.
They're fluid. That was the word they used. They're fluid.
These IT guys at Bing are just as fluid.
They
I
are.
Feel like sometimes you like try to Google like. You know, a beefy man's height and weight. Like, sometimes you don't even get it to, like, page 3 results.
Yeah.
You're just, like, buried under
all
this
crap. What am I looking
crap.
At? What are these ads?
It's like,
is this an ad?
Last time I ever tried to Google some beefy man's stats.
I don't want...
Why bother?
I don't want to buy ground beef off of Amazon.
You know, I've gotten to the point now where I don't even care how much he weighs.
I don't even know how to spell Google anymore.
Not on Bing, though.
But Paul Orndorff, 6 foot.
Yeah.
252.
Oh, wow. This weight, I feel, is a little, I feel like that's kind of a worked weight right there. There's no way he's got more on him than Billy Jack Haynes.
Well,
I feel like Billy Jack's got to be heavier than Paul Orndorff. Right.
I'm just saying, at his biggest, maybe.
You just can't trust these carnies, man.
Orndorff had a lot of muscles.
You cannot trust these carnies. They
Orndorff
will lie
had
to
a
you.
Lot of muscles.
They'll stab you in the back. They'll tell you they got more muscles than they
these
really
are
got.
Just, you know, stay
remorseless about it.
Man. These are just stats I'm coming.
You're not even binging this shit.
I am binging this.
Oh, okay.
I know I am. I mean, this is what my research is.
Don't carny me, man.
No, I would not. I take this shit
treat
seriously.
Me like some rube over here. You know how I'm invested in how much these guys weigh.
I know you care. You got goals and aspirations yourself. I got a number one.
Do you?
Yeah.
Well, it's a good thing. We'd have to kill a lot of time if we didn't have number one.
I'd be stupid if we did a 3 count and I only gave you 2.
2 counts, nothing. You can't call something the 2 count.
2.
Everybody would be confused.
Sweet.
Let's hear about it.
Ooh, we could do it. We could do the 2 sweet, where it's just 2 things we like.
Let's get through these 3 counts, and then like when we're too lazy to do this anymore.
Yeah. I don't want to think of 3 anymore. We're just going
to
do 2.
Move it to 2 sweet.
Yeah, it's good we have that in the back pocket.
Yeah, I'm thinking my number, a lot of ways to get out of doing this. eventually, this podcast is going to be like 12 minutes of like, just me sobbing into a microphone.
George Costanza trying to get out of things. My number one.
It's my passion.
We said no Ultimate Warriors.
No.
But we said nothing
about modern day warriors.
Okay.
And I'm going Kerry Von Erich, Mr. Texas Tornado himself.
That guy was cut up, brother.
Cut. And that's the thing I loved about that guy was every muscle popped, you know? It wasn't like the Ultimate Warrior where it's just like, I'm blinded by muscles.
Yeah.
Everything's oiled up and it's just very jagged looking.
I get vertigo when I try to look at Ultimate Warrior's muscles.
Correct.
Like, I've fallen on the floor before just looking at that man's physique.
You're familiar with the film Army of Darkness?
Oh, absolutely. I was watching it while I was supposed to be working last week.
Nice. Everybody loves collector's editions these days, but they used to have some nice collector's editions VHSs way back when. And they had
that Army of Darkness special
edition. Yes, with the limited edition Italian artwork where some crazy Italian artist made Ash with the chainsaw up in the air and just ripped to shit. But he looks like what Ultimate Warrior really looks like.
He could have been the model for that painting. He just painted Bruce Campbell's big chin over the Ultimate Warrior's body.
It doesn't look real, but Kerry Von Erich, he just had...
That guy's thigh muscles.
Yeah.
Imagine getting thigh muscles like that when you don't have a fucking foot.
That's
the
thing, man.
What did his gym routine look like?
Everybody knows he lost that foot.
How do you even use a leg machine if you don't have a foot?
Everybody knows he lost that foot, but like when he was like his biggest was right around that time, 86.
He had so many
steroids. He lost that foot in 86 and still managed to just get jacked.
More steroids in his bloodstream than like blood.
Oh, yeah. Doctors were very concerned.
Like, he was like, if you ever sweat around you, like, you just get steroids on you. And little children were just getting ripped to shit and stuff when he was doing autograph appearances. And parents were starting to complain. So it was sort of becoming a problem.
Also, to bury that Hart family again, because nothing bad ever happens to the Hart family.
Yeah.
You know, only tragedy finds the Von Erich family.
You guys are living on Easy Street up there.
Yeah, those Harts, they got everything just made in the shade. Bret Hart went on to say that he knew Kerry Von Erich was going to kill himself and didn't do nothing about it.
Well, you know, now that I've heard this story, I've lost all respect for Bret Hart.
Well, that's the thing.
This is the day that I've lost all respect for Bret Hart.
Kerry Von Erich, he was like, Kerry Von Erich, you know, he told me a couple months leading up to it that...
Ligus on the line.
I know, I'm doing the best I can.
Bret Hart expert. I'm sure he knows word for word what Bret Hart said.
Kerry told me he's thinking about joining his brothers, of course, and two out of three of them and killed themselves. And, you know, like...
I was like, piss off, hoser.
I was like, hey, you're going to kill yourself? And that was the day I lost all respect for him.
Take off, eh?
Hitman don't like suicide.
Every single Bret Hart story ends the exact same way. He always knows where he's going, but it's how he's going
to
get there.
So, Kerry Von Erich, we tip our hat to you just being too huge in heaven.
You know who did a lot of steroids, apart from everybody we've mentioned, but like...
Is he fat?
Maybe did the most steroids of anybody.
Is he fat?
No, he's not fat. He's ripped as shit. I'm giving it to another wrestler who I don't really like that much, but I gotta respect his body game. Total Package Lex Luger is my number one. I think I'm making him my number one because of longevity.
Because his shirts are too tight?
He's not a promo, man.
You're right. He stayed steroided-y the longest.
Not great in the ring.
I don't know what the word is.
But he could still get a job anywhere, any company in the goddamn world because he looks so great. And the best he ever looked, the end of WCW, when they like repackaged him, they quit calling him Lex
body
Luger.
Fat.
Wouldn't let him like use his real name anymore for whatever reason. He was just the total package.
Yeah.
He was huger then than in like 1986. That was like 99 or something. The guy had to have been 100 years old.
Great points. Like,
he had to have been 100 years old at that point.
It's mind-boggling because the guy wrestled for quite a long time, and you would think just by happenstance he would get better.
Yeah, you got that late career, like superstar Billy Graham we're watching, where like he don't look like he looked in the 70s anymore. He's still big and like big muscles, but like you can tell he's an old guy.
Yeah.
I don't know, Luger must have just been like, you know, snorting human growth hormone his entire career, because that fucker didn't age until, you know, I don't know, he started having strokes or whatever and turned into a goddamn walking ghost like he looks like now. He's still alive, right?
Yeah, I think so. Barely.
Why don't they just die? So I can always assume, like, oh no, yeah, he's dead. I don't even have to think about it.
No, you don't gotta
worry. All the way to like 99 at least. That was probably the last time I ever saw him. I don't know how long after that, but jacked up. Like Miss Elizabeth standing next to him. You know, lovely lady, the lovely Elizabeth, but you could tell she's an old lady at that period. Luger still just looks like a steroid monster 28-year-old or whatever. My hat goes the Lexus Express.
He never, like you said, consistency. He just...
bodybuilder
No one kept that steroid look for longer of a period of time.
Even Hogan had that, like, slimmed down Thunder in Paradise type era.
Not Luger.
Going into the mid-90s.
Luger, 6'4".
Uh-huh.
275.
Whew. That's a lot of muscle.
That's a beefcake right there, man.
Most of that's probably teeth, though. I'd probably say like a good 20 pounds of that is just teeth.
And forehead.
Teeth and forehead. Forehead's another like 20. That's like 40 pounds of that. 270, whatever.
That's not, these shirts are too tight. Respect him.
I respect him for doing more steroids probably than anybody I'll ever meet in my life or even just hear about, because steroids is the fuel that makes the wrestling fire burn.
Yeah.
Or it did back when wrestling was worth watching. That about wraps it up for our three count.
Good pick.
We talked about a lot of muscly guys. I'm starting to, I don't know, I might just do second workout today.
I was
going to
say, you want to do second workout, man?
Starting to get some fitspo going on right now.
Yeah.
I need to put some gym selfies up on my Instagram, you know?
Yeah. Oh, hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
Just that and pictures of my kids.
Pictures of my kids.
Well, I call my dogs my kids because I don't have kids, but I call my dogs
buns.
My kids.
I'm gonna sculpt those buns.
You women aren't ready to see them yet, but they're coming soon.
Mm-hmm. I mentioned it on Twitter today. I got coming up end of the year here. We're gonna have another year. We all got to get these resolutions.
Yeah,
I'm gonna master the Jean-Claude Van Damme splits.
I'm right there with you, man.
Next December,
I feel I got that one.
One foot on each chair.
We're gonna get a bitchin' picture of you and I, three chairs, because we share the middle one,
beautiful.
Right? Oh, how cool is that
going to
look?
Put that on our Christmas cards
how
next
cool
year.
How cool is that going to look?
That's the picture for our Christmas cards next year.
Shit, I'm so pumped right now. End this so we can go work on it right now. WWF next week.
Stretches.
Have a great time.
Primetime Wrestling.
Yeah,
it's baby. June or something.
Oil and blow.